ask an attorney about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. The law office is open this May the 2nd. And if you have a legal question, it's toll-free number 877-943-9673. Ask an Attorney is a live show today, May the 2nd, and you can call in with your legal questions. I've been host of Ask an Attorney all about Florida law for 36 years now, since 1984. Longest-running show in Florida, here just to help you with any way we can. You can call with your question at 877-943-9673, and phone lines are open. We have a call already. Let's go to Christine in Lakewood Ranch.
Hi, Joe. I have a question for my brother-in-law, whose father passed away with a large annuity, which was distributed to the three children automatically. And they got a 1099-R and had to pay taxes on that. Shouldn't that have been funded through the, or run through the estate, so they wouldn't have had to pay taxes?
No, they would have had to pay taxes either way, because that's built-up income in that product. And by having a direct beneficiary on the product, that avoided probate, so you didn't have to open up an estate. So that sounds like exactly what should have happened.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right,
have
thank
a good
you.
Day. Thank you.
Aren't you listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law? Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, if you have a question, something you've been worried about during the week, something that's happened to you, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's toll-free, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship. It can be about taxes, like Christine had a question about estate taxes. It can be about landlord-tenant. It can be family law. It can be just about anything. If you have a legal question of any type, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And we are more than glad to be here to help you in any way we can. Do you have, during this time, people have just been very, very active in estate planning. The virus has got everybody kind of scared, and everybody wants to make changes in their plan or maybe finally getting started in their plan, and some people don't know how to do that. We've been, what we've been doing on our first appointments is to interview people and send them drafts of the documents and then discuss it with them so they don't have to come to the office for the first visit. We can cut this down to one visit very easily, where offices have we can comply with socially distance rules in our office, and we'd be more than glad to help you. If you would like to do that and get started on your estate plan or make some changes in your estate plan, all you have to do is, I'll give you my cell number. I work remotely from home part-time now and in the office part-time. But my cell phone, you can reach me at 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967 is my cell number for you to call if you like. Phone lines are open right now and Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And let's go to Dale in Haines City.
Good morning. We live in Haines City, and we live in a mobile home park. It's actually an RV park, and we rent our ground, and we own our place. When we moved there about 10 years ago, it was owned by a private family. and the rent was reasonable, and that's one of the reasons that we lived there and why we bought there. And in the meantime, the family sold out, and now we are owned by a conglomerate that's actually out of Michigan. And every year we have a substantial rate increase. And I wondered if there's any statutes in Florida that limit the amount of rate increase that a park can put on us. So I think there's a statute of 721 point something, and I'm not sure what that number was exactly, but they raised
I don't remember the exact number, but I do believe there is a statute that prohibits rent increases over a certain percentage.
Okay.
And I don't mind trying to find that statute a little bit later and giving you a call to discuss it with you.
Okay, that'd be fine.
So what you have to do is you can send me an email with your phone number.
Okay.
All right, so my email address is Joe, J-O-E.
Okay.
At A-T-T-Y.
J-O-E.
.com.
Okay.
Joe at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, if you have a legal question, if I don't know the answer, I'm glad to look it up for you and get back to you. Or if I don't know the answer and it's not my practice, I might know the answer, but it might not be in my practice area. We have a list of other attorneys that can help you. If you have a question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. I was talking to a client yesterday, and some of the clients that come in where they don't know some basic answers to some basic questions is very interesting, and it's almost always the same type of client. And one of those areas is a client that comes in with minor children. So we get along to asking the questions about, who do you want to manage the money? You can't give money directly to a minor child. So if we're creating a trust, for example, we have to have someone to manage the assets till they get to whatever age you want to distribute the money. I mean, you want to give it to them at 18, 21, 25. Most people choose a little bit later age, particularly in the early stages of their children. You don't know too much about how they're going to turn out and how much financial wisdom they're going to have, and their ability to handle money, and their ability to have good friends, and not be influenced by bad friends, and their spouse, and what their spouse is like, and the money. You just don't know that much. So a lot of times, you do a little stretch on the money. You give them maybe a third at 25, a half at 30, and the balance at 35, something like that. And in the interim, you have a trustee responsible for the money, that can pay for medical, education, well-being, maintenance for the child as they grow up. Well, a lot of times a young couple with young children has not discussed who the guardian of the minor child is going to be. All that's covered in the will document. And then, of course, people change their mind from time to time on who that would be. Well, you can easily change a will or a trust as to who the trustee is and who the guardian is going to be. Those are all easy changes to make in documents. And you should, in my opinion, most of the time, the guardian and the trustee should not be the same person. And the example I like to give is the trustee could go out, who's also the guardian, could go out and justify, perhaps in their own mind, that they want a Mercedes station wagon to have for the kids to travel in, you know, which benefits them maybe because they might use it themselves some. Hey, if you have a legal question, the phone lines are open. 877 is the number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. And we are here to help as many people as we can on this May the 2nd, 2020. And hopefully things will free up a little bit here soon, and we'll be back to normal with business and back to normal about you and myself getting out in the community and traveling a little bit more and going to restaurants and being able to watch sports on TV. Won't that be nice when all that comes back around? And I think we're slowly progressing. As governor here in Florida says, we're going to take some baby steps to get there. And can't wait till it gets back to a more normal setting. Although, I think our country is going to come out stronger on the other end of this. How we work and how we relate to people and how we're shaking hands and social hugs and sitting together so closely, all that's going to change a little bit, I believe. Hey, phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. And if you have a question of any type, I sure would like to help you today. That's why I'm here. It's just to help as many people as I possibly can. You're listening on multiple stations today around Florida. We're broadcasting on the Salem. It's our flagship station, I call it. And they have stations 570, 910, 860, 930. You also Sun City Community Station, 96.3 FM. Might be listening there. You have stations in Crystal River. Have stations in station in Jacksonville. WBOB 600 AM, The Answer. There's also an FM component on a lot of these stations. And maybe we'll get to some of the other stations here in a minute. Let's talk to David in Kissimmee. Hey, David.
Yes, hello.
Hello, sir.
Yep. Okay. My wife passed away last year, and she had an annuity, and I canceled it out, and I was wondering, I haven't paid taxes since 2009. We've been retired and have a need to for the attorney we had. I called him up, but he's not answering, so I'm looking for an attorney or a tax guy that can help me out. I paid some thousands of dollars for her annuity when I cashed it out. And I was wondering what I can claim for my taxes and that.
Well, there's built-up income inside the annuity product that would be taxed.
Right. Yeah, I've done that.
I can. Yeah. Okay, so you need like a CPA to do your tax return or ask some tax questions too, because I could refer you to one of those.
Okay, that'd be good.
All right, so send me an email. Send me an email, and I will send you back the phone number of a CPA that I personally use myself that can help you with that.
Okay. Which email?
It's Joe, J-O-E.
J-O-E.
A-T-T-Y.
A-T-T-Y. Yep.
P-I-P.
A-T-T-Y. A-I-P.
Oh, okay, Joe, my first name, Joe, at abbreviations for attorney, A-T-T-Y, first three letters of my last name, P-I-P.com.
P-I-P.com. So that's Joe at P-I-P.com?
No, sir, it's Joe at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com.
All right, my phone, you broke up.
Okay, sir, we're going to put you on hold, and my producer there will give you the phone number, the email address, make sure you got it correctly, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
All right, let's go to Kathy in Odessa.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for taking my call. My question is to assist my son. They just put a contract on a house in Palm Harbor, and the self-described emperor of the HOA has decided randomly without any notice that their yard needs to be resodded before he will sign off on the title to complete the sale. In all the years they've lived there, there's never been any notice with any concern with the yard. It's the exact same way it was approved for them to buy it 4 years ago. Is this legal for an HOA to randomly decide they want the yard resodded before a sale is completed?
Well, the question is, basically, when you get into those type of questions, the answer is, do they treat everyone in the same fashion?
Not really. Yeah. It does not appear that way, no. There's other yards that are similar to theirs. You know, we're just coming off of a drought, just receiving rain in the last couple weeks, and this yard is flagged, and it's not bad.
Yeah, so basically the only way to deal with this is to get an attorney that deals with HOAs to write a letter claiming that they are being discriminated against and this rule has never been enforced against anyone, and there are many, many yards in the community that also need this the same deal, and to show you in writing in the agreement where this rule applies to them, that they have the right to do this on this particular. So you mean you, at this point, if you've done everything you've done yourself and you complain to the powers to be and there's no agreement and you can't do anything else yourself, then you get some aid from an attorney that practices in that area is the answer to the question, basically.
Okay. Yeah, it's unfortunate. These HOAs, people become power hungry.
Yeah, it's like the condo police, just a different form of it. Yeah.
Correct.
All right, well, I wish you well with it, though.
For a real estate lawyer, is that how I would approach
Yeah, a real estate attorney that deals, that has some experience dealing with HOAs.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Law office is open. We are maybe a third of the way through the show, so if you have a legal question, give us a call. We'd love to help you or give you some advice or get you pointed in the right direction. We'll do whatever I can for you to assist you today, maybe give you a little peace of mind, get you off in a different direction, or maybe even have a different thought after our call. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. More than glad to be here to take your questions. And we are here to help again as many people as we can in our 52-minute straight run with no commercials. How many shows do you think about it? How many shows do you listen to that have no commercials during the show? And that's the way I, when I am signing up a new radio station, that's kind of a requirement I have. I don't want commercials. You can do all your commercials at the end of the show. Give me my show so I can do it uninterrupted and no distractions with commercials and focus on. Now, some of my stations would never have commercials with alcohol or movies or whatever, you know. Some of those things would not be appropriate for some of the stations that carry my show anyway. So I like doing 52 minutes, sit down, take calls, answer questions, have a straight run, no interruptions. I think that makes a much better show for people to listen to. And also, now I like to, once in a while I'm watching TV, I do like to go get a soft drink or go to the restroom or something during commercials. So I guess that's the only disadvantage of doing it this way. Anyway, let's go to Rick in Sun City Center. Hey, Rick.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hey, what station are you listening to this morning?
860.
860. All right, very good.
Okay. The question I have is we moved down here from Minnesota in January, and we want to change our residency to Florida. Besides getting driver's license and registering to vote, is there anything else you need to do? Is there any forms or anything you have to file with anybody?
You can. Those are the two main things, becoming a resident and having a voter's card. Did you file a state income tax in Minnesota?
We will be for 2019.
There's a federal tax, of course, and there's a state tax. Is there a state income tax in Minnesota?
Yes, there is.
All right, so the most common question I get when this type of thing happens is, what do I do? So you might have to file one more Minnesota state income tax return, and this make a notation on that you've moved to Florida. This is your address, you're a Florida resident, and this is your last Minnesota tax return. And there's a way to do that on the Minnesota tax return.
Correct.
There's an affidavit of residence that you can also sign. Not everybody does one of those, but there is one other thing. If you have your address changed on all of your tax returns, your federal income tax return, you use the Florida address, of course. If you belong to a church, I mean, all of the, there's a bunch of things that add to you being a resident here, just kind of proof. Do you not join a church? Change your address on all of your credit cards, tax, federal tax return. Get all of your mail now in one, you know, one place in Florida, or most of it anyway. But I think you're good. We have offices there in Sun City Center also. It's good to have a will or a trust updated to state you're a Florida resident. That's a very common thing to do, is just update your estate planning documents. Durable power of attorneys, health care, surrogates, and living wills, and all of those things should be updated every 3 or 4 years anyway. But they'll be more easily, like a power of attorney health care surrogate is going to be more easily recognized if it's under Florida statutes and Florida Florida laws and has a fairly current date.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That pretty much answers my questions.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If I can help you in any way, I would be glad to. We do have a large estate planning poster sheet. I'd be more than happy to mail this to you. It's a handy reference, guys. It does has all of our addresses and so forth. Our address in Sun City Center, of course, is there. Had an office there for a long time. The addresses of all of our other offices. We have two in Pinellas, two in Hillsboro, two in Polk, offices in Lakewood Ranch. We have offices in Pasco and Trinity and Zephyr Hills. We have offices in Leesburg, the Villages, Claremont, Davenport. We have offices up and down from Daytona to Jacksonville. We have access to there. We have an office in Jacksonville I go to on a regular basis. I haven't gone there lately, but looking forward to going back there very, very soon. If you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, we offer free visits to review documents. Right now we're doing phone consults to if you have something, we talk to you a little bit if we can. Glad to meet with you, but if we can do our first visit by phone, we send out drafts for you to look at your documents. When I do that, also mail you this poster sheet along with the documents. So if you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, and or you'd like to make an appointment, a phone appointment or an in-office appointment, there are three ways to start the process. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. Love to mail you the poster sheet. If you'd also like to talk, 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me your name and address to the poster sheet or email me a request for me to call you, it's just simply joe@attypip.com. joe@attypip.com. If you want to text or even call my cell, you can text or call at 727-667-3967. Hey, phone lines are open on Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a leak, it's 877-949-6673. Phone lines are open, and we are more than glad to be here. All you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. So I get asked the question all the time, is there any assets, if you have a living trust, which is just a fancy will, I mean, both of the documents do the same thing. If you have a will or if you have a living trust, they both appoint someone to take over when you die. In Florida, that's called personal representative. Some states call it executor. same thing. And with a trust, it's called a successor trustee. You're the primary trustee. You name a successor trustee. Both documents have a distribution clause upon death. Both documents, you say how the assets are going to be distributed, in what fashion. You know, it could be outright. It could be over a period of years. It could be a dollar amount per month. It could be whatever you want. It could be they don't get it to a certain age. It's whatever you want to do, is all that spelled out in the document. The difference between the two documents is when you die with a will, you die with certain assets just in your name. Assets in a deceased person's name go through probate. If you have a living trust, the assets that you put in the trust are not in a deceased person's name. They're in a living trust. And you've given the successor, of course, the power to do what's necessary with those assets. All right, toll-free number 877-943-9673. Let's go to Tim in Palm Harbor.
Yeah, hey. It's kind of a silly question, but, you know, Spectrum, internet provider, you know, I canceled the service one day after the cycle was up. So I have the internet for one day. And I called to cancel, and they said, well, we can't cancel it today. We can cancel it tomorrow. And so I did that. And then, you know, a month later, 3 weeks later, I get a bill for the whole amount. You know, and I called them and explained I only had it for one day. You know, I'll pay 2 days. Oh, no, we want the whole amount. You know, so I talked to everyone in their organization up the line, and they're sticking to it. And they said, oh, we notified you like 6 months ago. We're a prescription or a subscription service. You know, you can't just break the contract in the middle. And so I sent them a check for 2 days worth, you know, and wrote on the check, paid in full, and they cashed it. You know, then they eventually sent me to a collection agency, you know, who I disputed with on that, and I wrote all that on there. You know, so what's the worst case scenario?
The worst case scenario is they would take you to small claims court, and if they were successful, they would get a judgment, which would mess up your credit score, rating, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then if they got a judgment, they can then try to pursue the judgment and collect on the assets.
Yeah, which sounds pretty slim to none to me, you know, so...
Well, did you ask them during the process to show you exactly that you had to give a certain number of days of notice to cancel the contract? Did you see, what I like to do is to drive the answer to that question to sending me the paragraph in my contract with you or anything that I signed that tells me that I must cancel and give you 3 days notice, 1 day's notice, 2 days notice. Or you're not going to, you know, show me something in writing that obligates me contractually to pay you and show me the paragraph. I want to read the paragraph. If I don't understand the paragraph and I'm not satisfied with your answer, I'll have my attorney look at the paragraph and try to nail it down to where they are forced to give you, incite you, and maybe even give you a copy of what you've signed to make them right and you wrong by not paying them the full amount.
And I doubt if they have anything in writing that I signed that has that information. They just claimed that they sent out a notice in my bill, and I said, whoever reads your bill, you pay your bill and you move on. You know, so can they just send out a notice with the bill and say, we changed our terms of service?
Well, they might argue that in court, but I think the better argument is I haven't signed anything that agrees to that, and I gave you notice to cancel my contract timely. And there's nothing that I've signed that obligates me. So
my contention is, what about the check that I have, that, you know, a canceled check that shows that I said paid in full for the 2 days? Is that, I remembered in law school, in a law class that I took in college, that, you know, that was kind of like, you know, good.
Well, you would definitely show that. You know, I couldn't guarantee you that would be the absolute thing that would tip the judges, small claims judges, ruling in your behalf, But that's good that you get that, and it's good that you have that as evidence.
I don't think any judge, personally, I don't think any judge, if it got that far, which I don't think it would rule in their favor, personally.
Yeah, so you're the big decision. You can sit tight and wait to see if they could take you to small claims court. You reply to the collection company with an answer that you don't think you're liable, and you could do the same thing to the collection company. Show me something that I've signed in writing that obligates me. I don't believe I owe this debt. This is not a legitimate claim. Please close your file. I'm going to hold you responsible if you mess up my credit. Send that kind of letter to the collection company.
Right.
So you have that in file. And sometimes that gets their attention. And you tell them you're absolutely not obligated to pay this, and if you are obligated, show me where in writing I signed something that obligates this, or show me something in writing that I've signed something that I acknowledge their role, you know?
Right.
And just bounce the ball back is what I call it. Just keep bouncing the ball back every time you get a letter and they don't respond.
Right.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. All right, let's go to Elizabeth in Newport Richey. Hey, Elizabeth. All right, maybe Elizabeth is not there. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, Elizabeth, if you can call back, or maybe let's go to, is there Ted there? Elizabeth, okay. Elizabeth, are you there?
I'm here. Elizabeth is here.
All right.
Joe, good morning.
I had
a stimulus check from the U.S. Treasury, and it stated, I don't know if it's a mistake or what's going to happen to it. It was written also, my name, Relos, also stating deceased, which my husband died last year in January. And it says deceased John. And the check was amount to was $2,400. Is that legal, or did the government treasury made a mistake? I did a deposit in the bank already.
Well, I think that just sounds like a computer glitch. If they know he was deceased.
Yes, he was deceased.
Yeah, but the check is probably for twice of the amount of money, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen is that'll catch up to you sooner or later, and they will take the money and withdraw it from your account, and they can do that without your permission.
Okay, I think it was a mistake, probably.
Yeah, it was. And, I heard that they're paying deceased people on these funds, which is just a computer glitch. I mean, they should have programmed the computer not to write checks to someone who's deceased, of course.
Well, thank you.
And then
again,
they have
so
people
I
that cash those checks, so then the government will either write
day.
You a letter to repay it, or they'll just come take it out of your account, basically.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine with me. Thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you.
Your help. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Ted in Sun City Center now.
Yes, sir, Joe. Thanks for taking the call. I've got a situation here that at first blush, it sounds kind of fishy. I've got a lady friend that says she has an inheritance coming from Germany. When her father, when he was alive, was a developer over there.
Mm-hmm. Is it more than $1 million?
Yes.
Yeah, like $12 million or something. I get these things all the time. I just delete them.
It's
bogus. And a lot of them don't even have your name on them.
Yeah. She says the attorney in Germany wants a fee of $8,000 to start.
Whenever any of these type of things come up where they're asking for money, for you to get money, they're just totally bogus. I've had a few, most of the time I just tell people to dismiss this immediately and don't get involved in this. This is all a scam. 98% of people will just follow my advice and do that and just get it deleted and not respond to it or not be involved in it. I have had, three or four people along the way insist that they know they're going to get this money. And they insist that, you know, I mean, I don't have to ever take a client if I don't want to, but I'll say, look, I'm going to write all this down that this is a hoax, a scam, you should not pursue it. To me, it doesn't make any sense for you to pay me money to write a letter or make a phone call or get involved in this for your benefit, because any of these things that are asking you for a lot of money to get even more money, they're just a scam. You pay the $8,000 to the German attorney and you never hear from anybody. And you do research, and you know, I've actually tried to call law offices overseas for a few people, or send a text, or whatever the letter says to do. I've tried to do, and it never works out. I mean, you check the bar association records of the attorney in Germany, and get a German person to that knows the language to help you do that, all that. By the time you spend $1,000 for an attorney here locally to investigate it, you just waste your money there too. Okay. But I have a few clients who just know, they're just so excited, and they just know this is legit, and they will pay a little bit, but I really strongly discourage anybody from even doing that.
Okay. That reassured me. Okay. That told me what I need to know. Okay.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right, phone lines are open again. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If I can help you in any way, we have about 14 more minutes left in the show, and be more than glad to do so. 877-943-9673. If I can send you our free estate planning poster sheet, hey, I would love to do that. It's a large double-sided sheet, 5 articles on Florida estate planning. On one side, all of our address of all of our office locations around Florida. On the other, with local phone numbers, the website information, all of the attorneys listed there, and I'd love to mail it to you. It'd be a good guide for you if you're getting started on estate planning, or if you've already done your estate planning. A little comparison of the choices that you have. I'd love to mail it to you. If you would also like to call my office or even call my cell phone, I'm going to give you all that information. I am actively every day, almost 7 days a week, I would say. I mean, not all the time do I work on weekends, but I do take calls for people who have reason to call me on the weekend. So if you'd like to get the estate planning sheet or call the office or contact me directly, here's how you do it. And this is for the poster sheet. Love to mail it to you, or phone consult, or just a phone conversation or a phone meeting. Okay, so the toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. To email me your name and address or phone number with your request, either the poster sheet or a meeting, it's joe@attypip.com. joe@attypip.com. The text number for you to either email or call is 727-667-3967. 727 is the text, 727-667-3967. Let's go to Nancy in Port Richey.
Yeah, hey, Nancy. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a father. He's 94 years old, a veteran, and he's in a nursing home right now due to a death of a younger brother. One thing is his home I'm caring for. I'm staying here, and I'm trying to do some repairs. I've been cleaning it, and there's a problem with the ceiling. There was a leak due to the rain. We had a few hard rainstorms, thunder, and the ceiling had a leak in it. I had an adjuster come in February, and he looked at the ceiling, and he estimated it. There was a leak in the, and it was moldy, and he noticed it, and there was like 1, 2, 3, 4 spots in the house when the adjuster had come. This is my father's homeowner's insurance adjuster, who I know he's been doing business with for 30 years. Now, he's made one claim before on the roof, and this is the second claim due to the storm that we've been having, the hard rain, the thunder.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second leak. Now, it's been 8 weeks, and then I finally receive a small check of about 600 and change. I look at the check and I say, oh my God, it's small. And, you know, I know from 2020, having repairs done at my my friend's house up north and in Florida here, that it's more than $600 to fix a roof. I call back and I speak to a lady named Sally. She said she's going to help me. She mails my paperwork in to another gentleman. He looks over my paperwork. He doesn't get back to me till about 8 weeks. There's more damage in the ceiling now. Now the ceiling is starting to leak more, and the ceiling, the drywall is falling down. I finally get a second and a third opinion estimates on the damages. My father, in the meantime, the homeowner, is in a nursing home, recuperating. And now, I don't want to upset him, but I'm trying to. He's made me power of attorney, and I'm trying to get things done for him.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance company doesn't seem to be cooperating with me. First, they told me they were going to be giving me a supplementary check. I found out yesterday that the case was closed, the claim was closed,
mm-hmm.
and $600 is only going to cover the ceiling interior. It's not going to cover
all right,
the roofing.
I have an attorney that deals with insurance claims like that I could give you his name to pursue that against the insurance company.
Yes.
So if you want to email me, I'd be glad to share that I one attorney that I sent all of my insurance claim problems.
Is that a just gripe, or is my father, shouldn't he be covered after paying insurance for 30 years on the house? They're saying the house is old now.
Yeah, that's what this person that I would send you deals with insurance companies and claims and so forth, and he'd probably be better equipped to answer that question than I would. But if you
also,
want to email me, I'll be,
I have one other thing too. My father in the nursing home, he wants to come home,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, I know that the COVID-19 is going on now, but they said that they were going to contact the hospice and that they were going to try to make it so where he could come home. And I have a hospital bed here from the VA for him, and I have his toilet seat and everything. Should there be any problem with me removing him from the nursing home, or?
Is he tested positive?
Excuse me?
Has he tested positive for?
I don't know. I'll ask him if he's tested.
Yeah,
I
would ask the social director if he's tested positive for any reason that they can prohibit him from leaving, or whether he should come home and subject you to it. And I think getting hospice involved in some of these cases is actually good. One of my clients that happened actually got the person out of the hospital in a much nicer hospice facility. And it was a transition move as opposed to an end-of-life move. So I think hospice can be very helpful in some of these circumstances.
Well,
Nancy, I've
healthy.
Got another call or two I've got to take, so...
Thank you, you can be glad
to call me off of the air, off the showtime here. So I'll be glad to talk to you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Joan in Sarasota. Hey, Joan.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I was working for an international company in merchandising, and from the very first day, and the follow-up for training, I was with the manager, and she asked me to take notes. You know, I'm like, great, but it was hands-on. So working with boxes and labels and unwrapping product and placing it in display. So it wasn't conducive to writing notes, so I had my cell phone on record. And she wasn't aware of that. And the things that she was saying to me were discriminatory. I think probably under two tiers of the law, religion and sexually. And she berated me about my faith for probably hours. I had to defend my faith to her. That was the conversation while we were putting the product away and onto the shelving. And so I have her statements saying things like, well, anyway, I don't have to get into the particulars. I think you didn't understand.
Did you get fired?
Oh, gosh, no. And then the second time I met with her, so she felt strongly enough that I was capable to do some of the job by myself, and then I was going to follow-up training. I was with her again, and she did it again, and I recorded again. And it was horrible, the things that she was saying to me. And honestly, I became scared of her. She said things like that she had been a practicing witch, that she had killed cats when she was a child. I mean, she scared me to death. I thought, honestly, she might be a sociopath. So on top of the discrimination, given everything that had happened, I sent in writing an email to her and her district, you know, the regional, that, you know, due to particular events, and I didn't go into detail, that I was quitting immediately, that I couldn't work under those conditions. And I've been trying to secure an attorney that could represent me because I have loss of pay. I've always wanted to be a merchandiser, and that was the start of a career for me in that particular field. It was the answer prayer, and I literally couldn't go forward. After the second time that she had berated me about my particular religion, I have a Christian ministry online as well and a Christian book, and I write Christian music. I'm on iTunes. She knows that I am a Bible person. And so the things I'm trying to share with you is that I became scared of her, and I thought it best that I didn't proceed any further because she had shortened my hours after the second time I was with her and she was berating me again. So yeah. I'm like, okay, so she's not...
Well, listen, Joan, if you want to contact me, I will assist you in finding an employment law attorney that, you know, could possibly take your case.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, great. So, and I don't mean to be redundant with you, but can I have that number over the air, please?
No, you need to email me for it. So so it's okay. Joe at attypip.com. Joe at attypip.com.
Okay, good. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you helping me. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. We host this show every week. And I would say 97% of the time it's a live show. Just very, very rare that I will play like a best of. And that's only because of some travel situation or some emergency or some other reasons. Very, very seldom I do a best-of show. But we listen. It's a live show every week, as it is today, May the 2nd. And I am more than glad to be here. And if you would like to contact me for the free estate planning poster sheet or possibly to make an appointment to discuss a legal matter, here are the three ways of contact to get to me. The office toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. That's office number is 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. If you'd like to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe at attypip.com. The text number, 727-667-3967. Hey, you have a great, great weekend. So long.